Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, those of you who have heard me speak, or if you read my newspaper column or the information on my websites, you know that the topic of MRSA, staph infections, and other hospital-acquired and some community-acquired infections are of a great deal of interest to me. More than 100,000 Americans die from these superbug infections each year, and many of us have no idea how to protect ourselves. My guest this morning is Dr. Leonard Weiner. Good morning, Dr. Weiner.
Good morning.
Dr. Weiner is a professor of pediatrics at SUNY Upstate and a specialist in pediatric infectious diseases. He's been a previous guest, so we welcome you back to the show this morning. Now, most of us don't understand the gravity of these germs and how they affect us and how they can really negatively impact lives. So I really want to cover this whole topic, if that's okay with you this morning. We're going to start with the concept of superbugs. Why are these things called superbugs?
Well, I'm not a fan of that terminology. What we what that terminology recognizes, however, is the prevalence and the impact of these organisms, both in terms of hospital infections and we'll speak later about community acquired infections. The key here is that these bugs are difficult to eradicate. We're talking about Staph aureus and subgroup of Staph aureus, the so-called resistant Staph aureus, or the MRSA group, and they're difficult to treat, and they tend to be persistent both in the environment and on one's person.
Well, as I understand the concept of superbugs, it has to do with the fact that just when we develop something that will kill them, they figure out how to overcome whatever would kill them.
Well, clearly the problem is resistance, which develops to most of the standard antibiotics, antibacterials, if you will. And you're absolutely right. These bacteria have developed genetic mechanisms for resistance, which continue to outpace the development of antibiotics.
It's sort of Darwin at his best, isn't it?
Or at its worst.
Or at its worst, that's the truth. It's not just a problem for children. This affects people of all ages. And we're going to break it out. We're going to talk about the hospital infections, and we're going to talk about how people acquire this in the community. But this can really be debilitating for anyone, can't it?
Absolutely. And this is one of the major causes for hospital morbidity, if not the major cause.
And sometimes people will die in the hospital, and they will die on their death certificate by whatever they were admitted to the hospital with, but they might have really died from an infection.
Oftentimes, the infectious complications are more difficult to treat and more problematic than the original reason that the patient was there.
Right. And we want to make clear that this is not, we're not talking about University Hospital, we're not talking about Krauss or St. Joe's or Community. We're talking about hospitals all over the world.
We are talking about hospitals all over the world. This is a national problem recognized by all the national healthcare agencies, and one for which extensive approaches to minimize the problem are in place, but none of which are really 100% successful.
No, nobody has been. All right. How does somebody get one of these infections? And we're going to talk about hospital patients at the moment. How does somebody acquire one of these infections?
Well, you know, one thing about hospital patients, hospitalized patients, is they wouldn't be there if there wasn't something the matter. So
that's right.
The immune response, the natural defenses in hospitalized patients are somewhat lowered. Hospitalized patients are clearly at risk for infection. We know that. Hospital environments, because of other patients with these bacteria. Again, we're primarily talking about staph right now, but it applies to all hospital-acquired infections. They're present within the hospital more so than they might be outside of the hospital.
Right.
And we have caretakers going from patient to patient who can potentially transmit at-risk bacteria and bacteria that put you at risk. And that happens even in the absence of an obvious infection.
Right.
So if the patient in the next bed has Staph aureus or...
And you might not know
and
it.
And you wouldn't know it because
right.
It's just colonization. By colonization, I mean the normal process whereby bacteria live on our skin and in our upper airway.
And let's make that clear. that about a third of us are carrying MRSA germs around with us all the time, and we just don't know it.
Everybody is carrying Staph aureus, and about 30% of those folks, and higher in the hospitals, of course, are carrying this resistant category called MRSA. And we have to try to prevent that transmission by every way possible.
Right.
But you don't always know that a patient in one bed might have it and pass it to somebody else.
And I do want to talk about prevention in a moment, but let's go on. So now somebody acquires it. Maybe they've been a surgical patient. They might be elderly. Some way their immune response isn't working well. They acquire this infection. Are there treatments available?
Well, there are treatments available, and it's rare, though it certainly has been reported that the infection is caused by such a virulent bacteria that we run out of antimicrobial options, treatment options. That's pretty unusual. But having said that, it's not unheard of. And as we continue to treat what we have, we are pushing the bacteria towards greater and greater resistance proportionality. And once we do that, we are going to find that we have less effective treatment.
And again, that goes back to that whole superbug concept that they just keep figuring out how to overcome whatever we try to kill them with.
Right. And you know, it's worth mentioning that antibiotic development by drug companies throughout the world, particularly, for example, aimed at MRSA, is a very slow process.
Yes.
And right now, in the past 2 years, the FDA has only approved one new antibiotic.
Really?
And it's a very slow process, and the resistance in the bugs occurs faster than we really have been able to develop, in some cases, appropriate new antibiotics to deal with those changes in those bacteria.
So Darwin works faster than researchers.
Oh, you know.
Always.
Always. Bacteria reproduce in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And that means that the genetic potential for changing resistance patterns is very high.
When somebody needs to be treated for MRSA or any of the Staph aureus infections, can they be cured?
You can cure the infection, but it's not likely that you'll actually eradicate the presence of the colonization. So let me just go back to that. I know I mentioned it a minute ago. Colonization is the term that we use for the presence of bacteria on the skin, usually in moist areas, but anywhere on the skin, and certainly also in the anterior nares, the anterior compartment of the nose, first part of your nostrils. And you know that we all tend to put our hands in and around our nose and scratch our skin, and that allows for potential for transmission of these bacteria.
Okay.
So we can cure the infection most of the time, but we don't get rid of colonization. If colonization is to change, it'll change over time by itself, but it's very hard, if not impossible, to totally put somebody in a sterile environment. We don't live in a sterile world.
No, we don't. We don't. So we can learn ways to, if not eradicate the Staph infection, at least get rid of the symptoms of it. What? No more rash, no more problems like that.
But
you say that people continue to have the colonization anyway.
And I think the key is prevention.
And let's talk about prevention, because that really is the takeaway I hope people will have this morning, is that there are ways they can protect themselves.
Right.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the hospital patient themselves first, and then we'll talk about all the people that are not patients in the hospital who are in and out. But, you know, a surgical wound is a site that breaks down the normal skin barrier, and that kind of site is the location, unfortunately.
Well, the germ can get right into the bloodstream.
Right. So we have things that occur in the hospital to patients which breach the normal skin and respiratory tract barriers, and those are the things that allow the bug to cause infection in that setting.
Mm-hmm. And so how do we prevent that bug from getting in there and just going out of control?
Well, we have to be really absolutely attentive to preventing transmission to those patients from patients or healthcare providers who may have those bacteria. And clearly the answer is hand hygiene. I use that term instead of hand washing, though they are simultaneous. Hand hygiene allows you to use something other than soap and water, like alcohol gel, which is extremely effective if your hands are clean and is situated in every spot within the hospital.
Well, absolutely. And I think that this is something that patients need to be aware of, is that they can ask the professionals, they can ask the people who visit them to wash their hands, sanitize their hands, perhaps put on gloves afterwards. There's so much more around this, and I want to make sure we all get this message. Can you stay through the news?
Oh, I certainly can.
That would be just great. Dr. Leonard Weiner from SUNY Upstate and University Hospital will come back after the news to talk more about MRSA, staph infections, and how we can prevent them. We do need to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.